This next interview we're about to do is really a follow-up interview, an update, if you will, of 6 years ago, same month, obviously, because it was the Radiothon, the Miracle Marathon. And we had a chance to meet Christine Rayling and her daughters back then. Christine, welcome back to the Radiothon.
Thank you.
So 6 years ago when you were on the Miracle Marathon talking about the twins, had they already had their heart surgeries or they were about to have them?
One and one. Chloe received her heart on May 11th, 2016, and Kendall was inpatient, hanging out, waiting for her next, for her heart.
Right.
Her heart anniversary is July 1st, 2016.
Okay. So you celebrate those anniversaries?
We do. Yeah. And now that they're school age, we make sure that their classrooms, their other kids really understand what that means, why we celebrate getting a new heart and versus a birthday. It's kind of like a rebirth, which is great. So, we make sure that they're engaged in that as well.
Now, when I told Doreen that you were going to sit down and talk with us again, because, we'll get to that in a second. She remembered very clearly 6 years ago, and she said, I remember the twins. I remember one was, like, shortly after, when both surgeries were done, one was doing well and thriving, and the other was kind of not so good.
Touch and go.
Yeah. Chloe was the one that came off of out of her transplant surgery on life support. Her body was just so hypertensive that it needed time to relax and it needed some medical intervention to help her heart and new heart and body kind of relax and get to know each other. Kendall, on the other hand, was a rock star. She was sitting up after 3 days. She was eating Cheerios after, I don't know, like 8 days, 9 days, something.
And
like
how
that.
Old were they at the time?
16 and 18 months.
Okay.
Respectively.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. When they had their respective
transplants. Yeah.
Now, things kind of reversed along the way somewhere, right?
They did, yeah. It's typical in a transplant, or I'm going to speak specifically about hearts because that's what I know. Mm-hmm. About 30 days post transplant, you go in and you have a procedure. It's called a heart catheterization to check for rejection and see kind of how the heart's doing. And at that 1 month check, Kendall was positive for rejection. So that kind of started off her journey. They caught it very early, which was great, gave her some medicine. She was only here for a couple days getting some treatment and then off and running. But since then, in her 6 years with this heart, she's been diagnosed with what's called chronic rejection. So she's had five or six episodes since she got her heart in 2016. Anything from we caught it really early, we're just going to give you some medicine, all the way to sudden cardiac arrest, which she happened to be in the hospital. And it's really a testament to her, the transplant team, of the labs that they see, the numbers that they look at, they saw that her numbers were a little bit wonky and said, you know what, I don't like how this looks. Let's come in. We're going to admit you. And 72 hours later, she had her heart stopped. Her nurse did CPR on her for about 2 minutes. She was put on life support for 5 days, I believe. She spent the whole month of September in the hospital recovering and getting healthy again. But really, they told us if she wasn't at the hospital and she arrested, then she wouldn't have survived. So it really is all credit to the transplant team and making sure that they keep an eye on these labs and the numbers and how the kids are trending.
So Kendall is here now.
Yeah. She is here now, yep.
And you've been here with her for about 10 days.
Yep.
And what's going on?
Kendall, she's been in and out of the hospital for the past 6 weeks, but this most recent stay, she caught a cold, just an average, rhinovirus type cold, which then turned into pneumonia. She's got some pooling of water in her left lung. Her heart's not very strong to begin with right now. So combined with the fact that she's immune suppressed, now she's got fluid pooling, she's got pneumonia, she's starting to go into heart failure. And so now it's this complex puzzle that her team is trying to fix of getting rid of the pneumonia, getting rid of the fluid, making her heart happy. But, oh, by the way, once you make the heart happy, you might anger the kidneys. So we need to make sure that she's got the right fluid balance. So that's what they're working on right now. So she has really a chest tube that's draining that effusion in her lung. And so she's just kind of hanging out right now. We're hoping to go home this weekend, but home is a little bit different. It's not like she just gets to walk out the front door. This time, Kendall's got a central line that they placed in her arm that goes right into her heart. She's going to go home on a pump of medication that's going to support her heart and basically help her heart pump. On Monday of this past week, I believe it was Monday, right, Liz? I'm looking at one of her nurses. Kendall was relisted for a second heart transplant.
She was.
Correct. Okay. So she will go home on heart failure medicine. She will wait at home as long as possible until either a heart is found or she's just too sick to stay at home and needs to come back. And
how old are the girls now?
They're seven.
Seven. Wow. And what's it like for Chloe? She's the one who's okay at this point.
Chloe is loving life. She is, I mean, obviously they're siblings and misses her sister,
sure.
But I think more so she's excited that she's got double the wardrobe.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Not here. So.
And you have a son at home too, right?
We do, yeah.
I was going to say, how does that work? How do you do that?
How old is Max?
A lot of team effort. It takes a village. Max is fantastic. I think if you could think of an ideal child, that's Max. He is an empathetic firstborn. He is always making sure that the girls have what they need. When we FaceTime with him, it's always, "Hi, Kendall. How are you? I miss you. I can't wait to see you."
That's really cool.
Yeah. When she comes, when she is at home, it's, "Can I get you anything? Are you okay?" Or, you know, really making sure that she feels included and safe. Twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it like? You have to be here because you want to be here.
Right.
It's your daughter's here. What's it like for you, and what does that do to the family dynamic?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to reframe what you say. What you said is, "I get to be here," and there's not a lot of parents that get to be here.
That's a great way to look at it. Yeah.
My husband and I are fortunate that we both have jobs that allow us flexibility to support our kids in their complex medical needs. And so I get to be here with every procedure. I get to be here bedside with my daughter. And if you go walk the ICUs or any hallways, you'll see kids just hanging out and by themselves. And that's it. There's nothing else. And they get to see their parents or loved ones, maybe on the weekend, maybe after work, if they're lucky. But to go back to your original question, Dave, it does put a little bit of a strain on the family. So
well, sure it would.
When I do go home and I see them quickly, it's, "Oh, I miss you. You're leaving already."
Yeah.
And so we explain why we have to go back, and they understand.
Sure they do. When you're listed for a heart like this, then what's that process like?
Mm-hmm.
You just sit by and wait?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just sit. It's not the patient, it's not the family's responsibility to really know anything that goes on. The team that's sitting behind me, those folks are the ones that get the notifications from the United Organ Procurement Organizations that say, "Here's a possible match." They'll go through and say yes, no. We don't know how many times they get that notification. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Right.
Because there's going to be organs that they pass on. And as a parent, then you have to kind of wrestle with that mentality of, well, why did you not save my child when you could have? And they have their reasons.
Of course. Right. Of course. I mean, they're doing everything in the best interest of the patient.
Right.
Whether you think that or not in the moment.
Yep. And it's not appropriate for us to know.
Right.
And it just causes stress. Mm-hmm. That's unnecessary.
So. And the folks who come down here to, like right now, to support you, it's more than just, those are more than just your daughter's caregivers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they are. This team has been with us since 2016 when we started our journey. So Liz and I hang out. I'm going to call you out.
They're family right now.
Yeah, she's family. Nikki came back after her fellowship. Now she's back here. Dr. Raskin also did a fellowship here and took care of the girls, and he's back. Dr. Kindle is where is he? Is he not there? There he is.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Yeah. Pull the chest tube. That's all I have to say. So.
I don't even know what that's about, but you know what? I probably shouldn't know.
No, but they do.
Kendall's got a chest tube at the moment. Okay. He's on the fence about letting it come out. So. But yeah, Dr. Kindle and his wife, who is also a doctor over on the Freidert side, are close friends as well. And just in a very appropriate way, I don't want to get any.
No, I get it. No, listening. I think that's the way it's supposed to happen, though.
I think.
And that's the reason why the care is so good, because of the fact that it's genuine, sincere, and, you know, I mean, it's a friendship, it's love, it's caring.
Yeah.
It's honest.
It's also nice to have this team of doctors in your pocket when you go through other things in your life as well. And you and I were talking about like my personal journey mm-hmm. as well through cancer of Dr. Kindle, the female Dr. Kindle over on Freidert has been a massive guide to me as well. And I wouldn't have gotten through my journey without her, and I wouldn't have known her if it wasn't for my girls. And
when were you diagnosed?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2019, December 2019.
And how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
You are. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had my latest PET scan on Monday, and it was clean, which is great. So
congratulations.
I'm
That's awesome.
A round of applause.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, your girls need you.
You are dealing with a whole lot of stuff, Christine.
Yeah.
You really are.
But you know what? It's all in how you look at it. And my husband and I firmly believe that we can't have a testimony without a test. And we believe that God has healed us and God will provide. He has provided in so many ways. He will continue to provide. It might not look like what we want it to look like, but it never does.
No, we don't understand it.
And it's not our... It's not our journey to understand. It's our journey to have faith and walk in faith. And that's what we do. And this team behind us and the team at Children's are the support system that help us do that.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for articulating your story the way you did.
Yeah.
And we hope it prompts some people out there to donate some money.
Thank you very much.
Very inspiring.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Christine. How great.